One. This is Leonie Hameson with Talk Out of School, inviting you to join me and co-host Daniel Alisea at our new day and time, Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about all the latest news and controversies related to our public schools here in New York City and nationally, with special guests including educators, parent leaders, advocates, and experts in their field. We also want to hear from you. So please tune in this Sunday and every Sunday from now on for Talk Out of School on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM or at WBAI.org.
Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the halls and into the street.
This is the mic check for Cat Radio Cafe.
Testing. Tune into Cat Radio Cafe Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
Displaced playwright on Tuesday, April 16th at 9 p.m. will be joined by writer and activist Esther Cohen to discuss her new book, All of Us, Stories and Poems Along Route 17, about the inhabitants of so-called Middlefield, a 60-person town in upstate New York, where an unlikely assortment of city emigres, oddballs, truckers, failed poets, and folks with Trump placards on their lawns live somehow in harmony.
Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
Cat Radio Cafe.
Hey, the cats drink coffee.
They'd rather shred up the Trump placards along Route 17.
Well, how about the failed poems?
Oh, those too.
Okay.
It's a minute past 6 p.m. You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI in New York City. 99.5 on the FM dial and streaming at WBAI.org. Up next, the Sunday edition of the WBAI Evening News with Paul DiRienzo.
Good evening. Iran's response to Israel's assassination of one of its top generals. Hundreds of drones and missiles launched from Iran strike Israel, sending Israelis to shelters and risking a wider war. I'm Paul DiRienzo with the WBAI News for Sunday, April 14th, 2024. The United Nations Security Council is meeting in an emergency session in New York on Sunday. They're discussing the attack by Iranian drones and missiles on Israel coming 2 weeks after a top Iranian general was killed by an Israeli strike on a diplomatic compound in Damascus. About 200 drones, cruise, and ballistic missiles were fired. Although Israel says most were shot down before reaching their territory, several missiles did get through, injuring a 10-year-old child with shrapnel. National Security Advisor John Kirby called it a victory for Israel.
Where things stand this morning is just an incredible military achievement by Israel and, quite frankly, the United States and other partners that helped Israel defend itself against more than 300 drones and missiles. I mean, it's just an extraordinary example of military superiority that Israel demonstrated to the whole world last night.
A sentiment echoed by Israel Defense Forces spokesperson Daniel Hagari.
Over the last 2 hours, we approved operational plans for both offensive and defensive action. We will continue to protect the state of Israel, and together with our partners, we will continue to build a more secure and stable future for the entire Middle East.
A writer on Israeli politics is Richard Silverstein. His blog is Tikkun Olam. Silverstein says Iran can also claim a victory.
The notion in the global media that Israel was defending itself and the world came to its aid is mistaken, because it was referring to an egregious act of aggression against it by Israel. So the other important thing to note here is that, according to some think tank analysts with the Carnegie Endowment, the Iranians coordinated with the U.S. through back channels and told them what it planned to do. and had an arrangement whereby the U.S. would be involved with Israeli defense against the drones and the missiles that were launched by Iran, as long as the U.S. would not participate in any Israeli retaliation.
Meanwhile, at the United Nations, the Security Council began meeting Sunday afternoon to address the violence. Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Madam President, it's time to step back from the brink. It's vital to avoid any action that could lead to major military confrontations on multiple fronts in the Middle East. Civilians are already bearing the brunt and paying the highest price. And we have a shared responsibility to actively engage all parties concerned to prevent further escalation.
Although the United States and Britain participated in shooting down some of the Iranian projectiles, the U.S. says it's only helping a friend. U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood at the United Nations.
The United States is not seeking escalation. Our actions have been purely defensive in nature. The best way to prevent such escalation is an unambiguous condemnation from the Council of Iran's unprecedented large-scale attack and an unequivocal call on it and its proxies and partners to refrain from further violence. Our goal is to de-escalate and then get back to the issue at hand, securing an end to the conflict in Gaza by getting a ceasefire in Gaza through a hostage deal, as well as surging humanitarian assistance to Palestinians in need.
And John Kirby repeated the U.S. wants no escalation.
Whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
But Richard Silverstein adds, it's just a matter of time before a counterpunch.
The Israeli retaliation, when it comes, which it will, probably will not happen for another 3 weeks because there's Jewish holiday of Passover, and then there's all sorts of Israeli Independence Day events. So that will all end in 3 weeks. So look for the Israeli response in 3 weeks. And because we're now in uncharted territories, it's not clear what Israel will do. If Israel's retaliation is massive enough, the Iranians will respond again, and this time they will not give notice, prior notice. The fact that all of these missiles, virtually all of them, were intercepted is only due to the fact that there were a massive layer of defense from British warplanes, Jordanian air defense, Israeli air defense, and other nations participating, that allowed them to shoot down all of these missiles. When Iran retaliates the next time, there won't be prior warning. We are really in uncharted territories that could conceivably lead to all-out regional war.
As the rockets fell, the skies over Israel and the West Bank were lit by the dueling missiles. Israel's Iron Dome for close-in defense, its David Sling for medium-range attacks, and its newly deployed Arrow system were on display for millions in the region and live on video. Palestinian peace activist Mazin Koumassia says he was awakened by the commotion. He joins WBAI from Bethlehem on the West Bank.
Yeah, it was right on top of us. We didn't sleep. We got up at the exact time, started the explosions above Bethlehem, and so it's scary, but as I said, it could get even much, much worse if people don't watch and if there's no rational adults to put the contending parties into a diplomatic tract. You know, Israel still thinks they can win.
Koumassia agrees both sides will claim a victory.
Iran just demonstrated its capabilities to reaching wherever they want to. So that's, I guess, Iran can claim a victory. Israel can claim a victory that the U.S. and Jordan and other countries helped it intercept 99% of these projectiles. The ball is back into the court of Israel, and I don't know what they will do. Netanyahu is a bit crazy and he wants a war, and he's been pushing for a regional conflict and is not interested in any diplomatic overtures or any solutions. So, so that's how it will play out.
Richard Silverstein also thinks Iran has shown Israel and the world that it can fight.
Well, in terms of what Hamas did, it was a huge shock to Israel, and it was unprecedented in terms of Palestinian acts of resistance, armed resistance against Israel. You also have to look at the context here. Before that Hamas attack, 400 Palestinians had been killed by Israel in the West Bank, and there were systematic violations in which Palestinian villages were being expelled, were being torched by settler terrorists. The IDF had invaded entire Palestinian villages and towns. So Hamas was reacting to that, perhaps out of desperation, but it didn't know any other way that it could dramatize the situation.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, the death toll increased to well over 36,000 today as Israeli troops opened fire on Palestinians attempting to return to their homes in northern Gaza. Some Palestinians said they had been told it was safe and expressed a desire to get home, despite massive destruction by the Israeli military. Again, Mazin Kumasia.
Israeli soldiers and settlers killed about 500 Palestinians in the West Bank since October 7. Many of them were children, and they arrested some 5,500 or something like that people from the West Bank. Most of them are kept without trials and administrative detention and are being tortured in jail. It's horrible in the West Bank, but it's not as bad as what's happening in Gaza. And Gaza is horrible. I mean, I know friends there who are literally starving, eating wild plants and bark of trees and things like that.
And to Richard Silverstein, the fighting is far from over.
It's a boiling kettle, and it's hard to know whether all the water is going to blast out of the top of the kettle or whether it's going to stay in the kettle. You can never be wrong when you predict that things are going to get worse than they already are.
And now the latest from the United Nations Security Council. We hear from the ambassador from Israel, followed by the ambassador from the Islamic Republic of Iran.
The Islamic regime of today is no different than the Third Reich, and Ayatollah Khamenei is no different than Adolf Hitler. Hitler's Third Reich was envisioned to be a thousand-year empire stretching across continents, just as Khamenei envisions his radical Shiite hegemony to stretch across the region and beyond. This is why Iran arms themselves with intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. Iran and Israel are on the same continent. You are next. The Ayatollah regimes acts like the Nazi regime, and their army includes Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, the Houthis, the Revolutionary Guard, and other savage jihadists. Instead of shouting Sieg Heil, these radical Nazi Islamists scream death to Israel, death to America, death to England. Just like the Nazi regime, the Ayatollah regime sows death and destruction everywhere it touches. For the past years, Ukrainian civilians have been killed from the skies with Iranian weaponry. President Zelensky, in condemnation of Iran's attack last night, said, and I quote, "The sound of Iranian Shahed drones, a tool of terror, is the same in the skies over the Middle East and Europe. This sound must serve as a wake-up call to the free world." Listen to President Zelensky and wake up. Just like the ever-reaching hand of the Wehrmacht, Iran struck Albania with cyber attacks and launches strikes against Kurds in Iraq. We all remember the 2021 attack on the oil tanker Mercer Street, in which British and Romanian crew members were the gloves. We are
General on 2nd April in Syria.
Impose crippling sanctions, designate the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps all fronts, from every border. We are surrounded by Iran's terror proxy, 60% purity, and even more. Iran's breakout time to produce an arsenal of nuclear weapons is now weeks, mere weeks. No concrete action has been taken, and the IAEA inspectors have been kept in the dark. Iran is on the verge of becoming a nuclear power. It should terrify every member of this council. Take a moment to think what would happen if Ayatollah Khamenei could have launched a nuclear bomb last night. Is this the world we want to live in?
I thank the representative of Israel. I pass the floor to the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Madam President, as we informed in our letter last night, in response to the Israeli regime's recurring military aggression, particularly its armed attack on 1st April 2024 against Iranian diplomatic premises, a defiance of Article 2nd of the Charter of the United Nations, the armed forces of the Islamic Republic of Iran carried out a series of military strikes on Israeli military objectives with dozens of missiles and drones. Iran's operation was entirely in the exercise of Iran's inherent right to self-defense as outlined in Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations and recognized by international law. This concluded action was necessary and proportionate. It was precise and only targeted military objectives and carried out carefully to minimize the potential for escalation and prevent civilian harm. Madam President, we called upon the Security Council to strongly denounce this unjustified criminal and terrorist act, taking decisive and appropriate measures to bring the perpetrators to justice swiftly and prevent the requirements of such horrible crime against the diplomatic premises of any member state. Regrettably, the Security Council has failed in its duty to maintain international peace and security. Russia proposed a press statement to denounce this atrocious act, which was backed by China, Algeria, and many members, but was blocked by the US, UK, and France. Faced with such circumstances, the Islamic Republic of Iran had no choice but to exercise its inherent right to self-defense under international law. The U.S. and its allies have blocked the Security Council for over 6 months, protecting Israel from accountability for the Gaza massacre. They not only avoid condemning Israel for these atrocities, but also actively try to cover up them. Their sole priority is supporting and defending Israel, regardless of the consequences and at all costs. Despite international pressure and UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire, Israel has defied this resolution. Rather, its focus remains on committing more atrocious crime, showing no regard for international legal obligation.
And that's some of the news for Sunday, April 14th, 2024. The news is produced with Linda Perry and Max Schmid. For WBAI News, I'm Paul D'Arienzo. Thanks for listening.
Are we both on? Hi, this is Paul D'Arienzo, and I guess I'm on the air. Am I, Max?
I certainly hope so. Yes, you are.
Very good. Thank you very much. And we have our guest, next guest, Matthew Ho, on the air right now with us.
Yes, I'm here, Paul.
Great, Matt. Great to have you on. Why don't you introduce yourself and give our listeners a little background? You've been a guest many times, but you have some background that matches this. You know something about the military, don't you?
Right. Yeah, thanks, Paul. It's good to be back on with you and WBAI. I was in the Marine Corps. I was at the State Department. I am with an organization called Eisenhower Media Network, and we're a collection of former military officers, intelligence officers, who argue for a diplomatic foreign policy as opposed to the militarized foreign policy that we have that gets us into the conditions and circumstances that we are in now.
Right. And what is your take? We've heard a lot, go back and forth. Everybody's saying it was a victory, what happened last night, both sides. From your perspective, and I assume, like many of us, you were watching it on television for the whole world to see, one of the rare events, I think, in modern human history that we watch these things now as they play out live. What did you think of it? Who's the victor in this, if anybody?
Well, I don't think there is one. Both sides posturing, to try and make sure their constituencies are able to beat their chests, essentially, while they are holding their breath, hoping the other side doesn't continue to escalate. I think it's the case where neither Israel or Iran actually want a regional war. I think they want to score these easy political points for their own domestic audiences. There may be some within both Iran and Israel who do want a showdown between the two countries, and again, for domestic political purposes. But I think when you draw it out, you see that neither side would do well in an actual war between the two sides, that neither side is capable of winning in the conventional sense of that word. And that this would be a war that would drag on. It's very similar to Ukraine, just except that, it's not a cross-border war. It'd be more of an aerial and missile and terror war as well. And that it would be a war that would be impossible to conclude. And that really the only thing that could happen besides it being drawn out is that it could escalate. Again, similar to what we're seeing in Ukraine, it could escalate to become a major war between nuclear armed powers. We should say, of course, it is a war between nuclear armed powers because Israel has nuclear weapons. But the idea that this war could escalate to bring the United States in, potentially even Russia, is something that should give us all pause.
Yeah. What? Speaking about the weapons that are, who is there one victor? Maybe there's one victor in this. The armed companies, Raytheon and the rest, that and the other armaments manufacturers in each of these countries that are seem to be enriching themselves to tremendous degrees by selling these weapons and developing these weapons for people to use.
Absolutely. I mean, neither of these nations have a military industrial complex like the United States does. The U.S. exports 40% of the world's weapons. We actually, Paul, weapons are the United States' largest export. We've exported last year about $235 billion in weapons. We only exported about $180 billion in agriculture products, just to give an idea of how big our weapons industry is. But within both Israel and Iran, there are major weapons industries. Israel is among one of the top producers of weapons in the world. And Iran, over the last couple decades, a nation that has been basically under sanction and blockade from the West for close to 40 years now, created a weapons industry internal that has now begun to export weapons. And we've seen that in the Ukraine war, where Russia, to good effect, has utilized Iranian weapons, particularly drones, against the Ukrainians.
So what is this? Is this so? What you seem to be sketching out to me is that this could turn, if it continues to escalate to the great detriment of the Gazan people who are suffering the most right now at this moment, we could enter an era of belligerence that might not be exactly World War II or World War I, but a version of a boiling, as one of my guests said earlier, a pot of water boiling constantly and every once in a while boiling over.
Yeah, I think that's a really good, a really great analogy or image there, Paul. That's terrific. I'm gonna have to steal that.
Richard Silverstein, I'll give it to him. He was the one who said that.
Plagiarism is the most sincere form of flattery, of course.
Sure is.
That's exactly correct, right? So you have this idea where they'll continue to attack one another various ways using missiles, aircraft. Again, the idea of terror, bombing, right, can occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then through proxy forces, particularly the Iranian allies that they have in Yemen, that they have in Iraq, that they have in Syria, Hezbollah. And there's where you get this idea, this fear that this war could escalate horizontally, right, as they say, and expand and bring in other nations. And then, of course, if you have, say, a conflict that gets larger, does the pressure then become on the United States to intervene to help Israel? So if Israel is now not just fighting Iran, but they're also fighting Hezbollah, as well as as well as armed groups from Syria and Iraq, as well as Yemenis, does the United States feel pressured to get involved? And then, of course, you have the issue of Russia. Russia has a large military presence in Syria. They intervened in 2015 very effectively to preserve Bashar Assad's government there. And so Russia has demonstrated quite clearly that it will defend its ally in Syria. And so when we talk about how you get to this point where you get from Israel bombing the Iranian consulate in Damascus to 300 missiles and drones attacking Israel from Iran last night, to the point where you have Russia and the United States fighting, you see how that progression can occur as events happen that bring in more players, to the point that you actually have a conflict between Russia and the U.S. And we all have to remember that both Russia and the U.S. have troops in Syria.
So they could be brought into direct conflict. There's many reasons where, you know, NATO could be brought into conflict. It's interesting to me that NATO, you know, we started out North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and now you're talking about the possibility of them launching actions in the deserts of Syria and Jordan and Iraq.
It's possible. I mean, technically, the way NATO is set up, NATO would not be required to act if the Americans were involved in this conflict. And the Americans already have been involved in this conflict. One, just our relationship to Israel, how much we provide Israel, how much we supply it, all our support for Israel, or, you know, et cetera. But then, two, we've already seen American soldiers killed over there in the last 6 months. Three Americans were killed in Jordan. The United States has been attacked by drones from Iranian allies constantly over the last 5 months or so, 6 months or so. And during these attacks last night on Israel by Iran, you had American fighter aircraft as well as British aircraft, and reportedly Jordanian defenses, whether they're aircraft or not, I'm not entirely certain, but you certainly had American and British fighter planes shooting down Iranian drones and cruise missiles over Iraq and Syria as they approached Israel. So you can see how this is already quite broad, how this is not just Israel or Iran. I mean, right there you have the U.S. and the U.K., their aircraft involved over Syria and Iraq, shooting down these Iranian drones and cruise missiles. So, yeah, the potential for this in terms of bringing in other nations, it's not hyperbole. It's not speculation. It's not a question of people exaggerating or being too worried. It's a reality because it's already occurred.
Very good. Thank you, Matthew Ho, for joining us on WBAI News, and we're definitely going to have you back again to talk more about this. Appreciate your comments.
Of course. Nice. Hey, thanks, Paul. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care. And that was Matthew Ho of the Eisenhower Media Network, a former military man who knows a lot about these things. And I think what he said is definitely something to worry about in the future to come. So I'm Paul DiRienzo. We're going to continue for another half hour to take your calls here at WBAI and to raise some money. We have a matching fund and all kinds of other fun things going on. So if you want to participate with us, please stay on board. We're going to have a little bit of a break, and then hopefully I'll get on the I'll get on a line a little more clear than my telephone, and we can shoot off to try and save WBAI and get involved in saving WBAI and taking us to the next level. I hear we're doing really good, but really good ain't good enough. Our best is not good enough. We have to do better than our best. And I know if there's anybody I can do better than my best for, is the listeners of WBAI. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. And I assume Max is here.
FM, WBAI, New York. I'm grateful to have WBAI. You know, it's not easy in this country. It's very rare, actually, in this country to find platforms, specifically media platforms, where we can say what we want and how we want it. This is a necessary platform. And if we want to continue to archive the voices of Palestinian Americans and pro-Palestinian voices, we got to pay for it, because freedom is not free in America. They told you it was, but it's not. And so being able to be part of the movement to put our money where our mouth is, if we want freedom of speech, we got to invest in that, unfortunately. And fortunately, you get to do that at WBAI with a team of incredible people, some people who've been at WBAI for decades, continuing to maintain this platform so that new generations like mine can access this space. So go to WBAI.org. Give what you can, my friends. What you have is all we need. So we're not asking for millions here. We are asking for grassroots support. $10, $20, $5, $500 if you have it. If you have $1,000, we'll take that too.
Let's keep it going. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute. Do what you can. Or call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Do your part to help keep us on the air.
And I guess, am I on? I'm on.
Well, of course you're on.
Thank you, Max. And Max, tell me, what is the number for people who call in to make pledges again?
Well, that would be 212-209-2950. But, of course, online at the website, there's the website WBAI.org, there is a big button right in the middle of the page to make a donation online.
Great. And good. So, folks, we have a $500 matching fund. And Max knows all about matching funds. We lay out, somebody has given us $500, but only on the promise that we will raise $500 from you, the listeners, against that and actually turn it into $1,000. So it's a bit of a contest, and we have a half hour, 25 minutes, really less than 25 minutes, to make this nut, which is $500 from you, the listeners. And, you know, you can become a member for $50, and you can offer even more. I don't have any premiums lined up, although I have great ideas for premiums. Right now, our main premium is you and your love for the news and the news that we've been doing here for years now, and definitely since early October, we've been covering very closely events in the Middle East, culminating in this program on Sunday, where we followed last night's very disturbing military ballet between Iran and Israel, Israel being a nuclear-armed state, Iran nearly a nuclear-armed state, so the possibility of chaos and turmoil is definitely great. So understanding that, you understand the need for WBAI to become a member here of this station, to see the need to keep a voice like this afloat, because maybe in the past it was hyperbolic to say you couldn't hear anything we're doing somewhere else, but now it's true. It's hard to hear what we're doing, programming about what's happening in Gaza, and get this information anywhere else where you can just dial it up and know where it's at and have it at your fingertips any time of the day or night through numerous methods of transmission. And that is the future of communications, and the future of communications does contain radio and broadcast as an aspect of it, because it's always something you'll be able to get for free, and it'll always be available, and it's privately, except in the case of WBAI, is either privately owned or owned by the government. Here, it's owned by you. And so you, the listener, are like a crucial aspect of this whole thing, of keeping us alive through your small donations, $50 donations. It has not risen over the years as the price of everything else has risen, right? We still ask for $50, although we can take more if you can swing it. and to become a member of this station and to help us meet our matching fund of $500. Is there someone up there who has 500 or 400 or 250 or 100 or just 50 or 10? We'll take anything because you can always be a WBAI buddy. So you can call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 to make your donation, your tax-deductible donation by telephone, or you could go to our website, wbai.org, and there in the middle of the page is a button, and you just click on that button, that virtual button, and it'll take you to the place where you can make your donation, your tax-deductible donation to help keep WBAI, this very, very, very unique voice, a voice not controlled by government in time of war, a voice not controlled by the same people who are invested up the wazoo in these military corporations like we were just talking about with Matthew Ho. I think one of the biggest ones is Raytheon. And it's sucked up all the other ones into one gigantic corporation. And they're providing and making out every one of these shots, every one of these missiles that's fired is millions and millions and billions and billions and trillions of dollars. And all we ask from you, the listener, is for $50 to keep this only place you can go. Where else can you go to get this kind of news? And it's more than just we're covering the Middle East, we're covering Iran and Israel and these places, but you can also hear about Kowalski Trawick, who the police officers walked, even though it was by anybody looking at that video camera, it seems like there was something going on that should have deserved further investigation, but it's not going to happen. Only on WBAI would you hear those kind of stories, the ones that go against the grain, the news that tells you the things that nobody else will tell you. It will breach the subjects that the other stations think are too disturbing, that we know that you have to know in order to make an intelligent choice, an educated choice, in like who's going to be the president or who's going to be the governor or the mayor or anybody else in your lives, who is going to rise from the ranks. How do we make those decisions in a democracy? 212-209-2950 without information. 212-209-2950, WBAI.org. We have a $500 matching fund. We need you to match anything up to that $500 and more. You like the news? I mean, I've been doing the news for a long time. You know, folks have been listening to it. Folks have been tuning into it.
And Paul? We've been looking back at the history of WBAI this week, and, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, WBAI was a leading voice in the anti-war movement, Vietnam. We sent the director of the news department at the time, went to Vietnam and reported back from there, and BAI was a beacon of anti-war protest movements in the 60s and 70s, and we're still covering that kind of news that others won't touch. And WBAI deserves and needs to continue on, which can only happen with the pledges and monetary support of our listeners. 212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org. Just hit that green button right in the middle, or the green button on the top if you want to be a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member of this radio station for $10 or more a month. You commit for 1 year, $10 or $12, $15, whatever you can afford, whatever you think WBAI is worth on a monthly basis, and it's deducted automatically in small increments from your credit card or your bank account. Be a buddy for WBAI.
Absolutely, 212-209-2950. Now, Max, we are in a position to take a couple calls, and I was wondering if anybody's already calling in or we could remind folks. Go ahead.
212-209-2877 if you would like to join the conversation. 212-209-2877 is the on-air call-in number.
And I know there's lots of folks already out there who know that number, so you don't have to say much more than that's the number. Call in, and they will. But we want to give other folks a chance as well. Anybody who has an opinion about some of the things that have happened overnight, it doesn't have to it could fly in the face of anything I've said or we've said here today. I'm curious what anybody has to say, and we'll try and I try and be, I balance things as much as humanly possible when you are a human being and looking at children starving in places. But obviously, we wouldn't be in this position if there weren't interests at stake that have conflicted. And we're willing to talk about those things. Again, our number 212-209-2877. Join us here on the air. And I want to get your opinion of the news. What do you think about the coverage that you've been hearing about what happened last night? What do you think? The listener, this is your opportunity to give us your opinion, because we're interested in what our listeners have to say and what they think about what's happening in the world. I often am enlightened by the things that people tell me, even when I disagree with them, and it leads to new ideas and new stories. Absolutely. It's been a very organic connection between WBAI Studios and you, our mouth and your ears. And we want to get your mouth on right now. 212-209-2877. Max, is there anybody on yet? Any lights?
No, there is not, oddly enough. And you know, Paul, I got to tell you, I appreciate your newscasts. And since they usually come on while I'm frantically trying to get to work, many's the time when I will put it on later in the evening just so I can listen to it myself.
Thank you. Well, there it is. There it is. And you can do that at WBAI, because we keep an archives. We keep archives on tap, and folks can listen to programs they've missed, you know, for some time afterwards, a couple of weeks afterwards usually. And so
sometimes years.
Except yeah, years. We
music shows, they can only keep for 2 weeks because of copyright laws. But talk shows and every other show, I've got maybe 5 years of golden age of radio going back in the archives.
That's amazing. So there you go. You have all that information about your community that's there, and we're going broke. We need your support to match that $500. We're actually not going broke. I shouldn't say that. We're not doing as well as we need to do in this environment, in this economy, to survive. You know, that's really what it is. It's we're doing very well. The problem is, it's not, we have to do better than our best sometimes in order to survive in a very competitive environment like New York City. And in the United States, it's a capitalist society if you never checked, you know, and that's just the reality that we have to deal with. We have bills that have to be paid, including rent and transmitter fees and other costs. It's just never ending. It's never ending. And the crisis is always there. It's just always another crisis. Where the next bill is going to come from? Where the payment's going to come from? We need you to join our organization. Join WBAI.org for $50, or make a donation at 212-209-2950. It's tax deductible. That could help offset our $500. Right now we have a $500 matching fund. Right? And this is, if we match it, we make $1,000. Think of it that way. Still no calls? I'm surprised.
Still no calls. And if you're listening online, by the way, bear in mind that, you know, that costs us a lot of money as well to keep those archives for 5 years, to provide a 24-hour streaming service. But the archives, so you never miss a program on WBAI because they're all right there in the WBAI archives. But we have to pay for that, too, for the storage, for the streaming, for the bandwidth. 212-209-2950, the pledge line, 212-209-2950. If you want to speak on the air for the next 15 minutes or so, 212-209-2877 to talk about the news, maybe just talk about what you love about WBAI.
That would be great right there. You know, has WBAI changed your life? How has it touched your life? How has WBAI touched your life through the years? It's been around now, more than half a century, 60 years, more than 60 years. How has it touched your life? What is it like to have WBAI there? And by extension, what would it be like if it wasn't there? You know, if we lost our transmitter. 212-209-2950 to become a member. $50 to make a donation. Become a BAI buddy. Go to WBAI.org. There's the button sitting there on the screen. Give it a click. Or you can join this conversation in the minutes we have left at 212-209-2877.
And you know,
209?
Yeah.
Yes.
If WBAI goes away, you know, we're always in danger with the backlog of rent that we owe at the transmitter site. They could turn us off, and we'll be gone, because if they turn us off, there's no coming back from that. So that's why it's so vital for listeners who appreciate the news that Paul brings every day, who appreciate the diversity of programming and thoughts and voices here on WBAI. You must keep this station afloat. You must help us pay off these back debts. I understand they've made a substantial payment for the back rent based on the income from this week. So we're getting out of the woods, but we need everyone's help. We need every listener to make some kind of contribution. $25, basic membership, but more if you can afford it. There is a call coming in. Should we?
Oh, let's give it a shot while we have some time.
WBI, you were on the air.
Hi, I just want to, I've been a long-time listener, and I just want to thank you guys for being probably the only media outlet in this area that offers a balanced view of world events. Most of the time we're hearing, or all of the time, we're hearing views that are, you know, affected by commercial interests, by the people who, you know, advertisers, in effect, whether it be like bread makers or arms makers. But BAI helps us be better Americans, better citizens, better participants in a democracy, because to participate, you need to hear a fair and balanced description of what's going on. And I just think you guys are like the lone beacon out there that's presenting that. God bless you. I mean, I think it's wonderful.
It's so deep, caller, what you said. It's an amazing thing when folks say that democracy might depend on a little radio station in a big city somewhere. But I think you're very much right. And people have to get onto that and realize it's something important and needs to be supported.
Yeah, and let me tell you one other thing that I think would be instructive to your listeners. I know I do a lot of reading. I love reading biographies. And I read the biography of William Paley, who started CBS, first as a radio network, and then everybody knows the big television network. And when he started, especially in the 50s, as TV was coming in, he always told his news department, you have to present an objective view to the world, because if you don't, the FCC will come after us and take away our license. So that kind of shows you how the world has changed. I mean, Paley is telling his news people, always present both sides fairly. Always present an objective view, or this government organization, the FCC, that protects, in effect, the rights of listeners, will come after us and shut us down.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right there,
if you ever saw Good Luck and Good Night, Edward R. Murrow, how dangerous it was for him and for CBS even to take on McCarthy, Joe McCarthy, back in the 50s. And that could happen again. That could happen again.
It can happen
again. Thank you
again.
Very much, caller. Yeah.
You're very welcome. And keep up the good work, guys and ladies, because you're offering a service to this whole tri-state, or however big your area is, probably the world these days, that really presents both sides in an objective way. And let the listeners and the citizens make a decision. But they cannot make a good decision unless they have clear and objective information. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
your
call.
You're very welcome. Keep up the good work.
All right. Bye. We just got a couple of minutes to make up this. And I'm sorry to be – usually I like to let the listeners take pretty much as much time as they want. But sometimes we just don't have that opportunity because – it's a big city. We're a small radio station in a big city. A lot of folks out there want to get an opportunity, especially when things start to get going. Again, we have a $500 matching fund. You've heard. I mean, the testimony from the last caller says it all. And I think we should listen carefully to what he said about how important it is to have a radio station, this small radio station in a big city that has more courage and more heart than CBS under Paley. I mean, think about it. And you could be a part of that. I want you to become a part of that so that we can do this together. 212-209-2950. Help us match that $500. And you can go to WBAI.org. There's the button. Just click on that button. And you can make your, if you rather, make it over the Internet. Very easy, quiet, private, anything you like to do. 212-209-2950. Is there any more calls coming in?
I don't see any. 212-209-2877 if you would like to speak on the air. And 212-209-2950 to make a pledge. Now, you know, Paul, we don't see... I have an email system that shows me pledges that come in through the phone center, but it doesn't show me pledges coming in through, you know, the website or other places. So I can't tell how well we're doing. By the way, oh, we seem to have one or two more calls.
Okay, so we actually, some people are trying to call in. Bertol is trying to call in. I just read here. He says, I don't know why it's not coming in.
Let's see if this is him.
Oh, $100 just came in from Brooklyn, New York. Hello.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello?
Turn
Hello?
Your radio off. Listen on
I
the phone.
Heard. I just did.
Pardon me?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Good afternoon or early evening. I just want to tell you that I love WBAI because I love free speech. And I want to say that a year ago, I made a contribution. I'm happy to say, but I'm unhappy to say that WBAI did not keep their share of the bargain. They didn't send me the gift that I was supposed
we'll get
to get.
That occasionally happens, sir. That occasionally
Excuse
happens,
me?
Sir. Is there? Yes. Could you email?
I don't use email. I use a telephone and regular mail.
Okay. Is there a number for that, Max, that somebody can call to look into that? Or
no, there is, but I'll have to look it up, and I don't have
you
the
can
tip
take
of my finger.
You can take my telephone
fingers.
Number now.
Yes. What's your name?
Well, we should take that off the air. We should take
off
that.
The air. We're going to do that off the air, right? We have to do business
so
off the air.
What should I do? Just hang on.
Yes, hold on. I will put you on hold, and we'll take the next call, and I will take your information.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for that.
Oop. I put Paul on hold at the same time.
On hold just for a second. I have at least two have come in, two $100 pledges, one from Brooklyn, New York, and the other James. Thank you, James, from West Palm Beach. Wow. I hope he's out on the beach.
Now,
and
here's
the number if you have problems. I have the number,
okay.
By the way. This is the number to give out if you have problems with premiums. It's 212-209-2870.
All right, I'm going to give you the next caller so that I can take this man's
right.
information.
Right, go ahead. Yes, there you go. You got the number now.
All right.
You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. I can say WBAI is especially invaluable. The first Gulf War, I was in Europe most of the year, came back. Literally, when we were all yelling about Saddam Hussein and King Kuwait, and the only place I heard was on WBAI that the ambassador from the United States told Saddam Hussein, we have no interest in what is happening in Kuwait. It's a border dispute. We're staying out of it. It was all over the European networks, if you will, and the airport. Coming back, of course, it was an entire different world. And then when the war started and we started to bomb the hell out of Iraq, your late-night program, which I really miss, called Weaponry, those guys had direct phone calls into military people who were not on the war side, saying what was exactly happening with the malfunctioning technology and the slaughter on the ground. Nowhere else did you hear that anywhere for a couple of years. For anybody who hasn't given a couple bucks to BAI, do this. If you travel, just leave your radio on 99.5. And if you're going to drive to Florida or you're going to drive out to, you know, out west, just leave it on there and hear the crap that you hear otherwise. You know?
I can't deny
it. It's a jewel. We need to keep it.
Unless you like a lot of country music and religious showing, religious
exactly.
programming. That's it.
Exactly.
Country music and religious programming. I don't get it. East Coast, West Coast, in between. It's the same. South, North, it sounds the same. It's the exact same stuff. It's almost like the same station doing it. And maybe it is. So understand the value in something like WBAI if you're a progressive person, if you're a person with heart, if you see what's happening in Gaza and you cry and you say – when you hear the United States and the President of the United States justify
were delaying and delaying and delaying, calling a famine until thousands are dead, until babies are turning up at hospitals emaciated, where people, these people, Anthony Bourdain, the great chef, he had to say about the definition of courage is a Palestinian, all right? Palestinian people and people in Gaza, right? We have that courage, a bit of that, a little bit of that courage here at BAI, because we are willing to do that kind of programming even against the grain, against the wind, and we need you to support that. 212-209-2950. Become a member of WBAI, WBAI.org. It's come to that time, 6:55, and I'm winding it up, Paul. And thanks a lot for all your time and your help there, Max. It was really great. And thank you for listening, all the listeners out there. Hope to hear from you again sometime soon.
This is Leahy Hameson with Talk Out of School, inviting you to join me and co-host Daniel Alisea at our new day and time, Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about all the latest news and controversies related to our public schools here in New York City and nationally, with special guests including educators, parent leaders, advocates, and experts in their field. We also want to hear from you. So please tune in this Sunday and every Sunday from now on for Talk Out of School on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM or at WBAI.org.
Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the halls and into the street.
I hate to sit here and sound as if I'm beating BAI's drum, but I really feel sometimes that the station is taken too much for granted. And I think if there's one thing which I guess a lot of people have lost is the sense of wonderment and awe that a place like BAI exists.
This is WBAI in New York City. Sorry as you may be to hear that. Excuse me for a minute. I'll be right back.
I don't know. You've done some very strange things on the radio, and I don't.
I apologize.
I,
you see, I was
judge you solely by the past.
Yes, that's true. Well, I was not aware of these things which you just brought to my attention, and I'll certainly be more careful in the future to try and protect my interests and the interests of America and democracy.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Let's keep it going. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute. Do what you can or call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Do your part to help keep us on the air.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy today.
Hey, Harry, old buddy, old pal.
Old friend. So I want you to be my buddy.
I can't be.
You've got a friend.
Friend. Good.
Friends or buddies, as we like to refer to you as here at WBAI. Either way, we invite you to join us and become a member of this fine radio station. We want to partner with you, but we want to do it in the least imposing and most painless way possible. Here's the deal. It's called the Buddy Pledge. You give us your support for 12 months, and we give you access to the most eclectic music, as well as the best and thought-provoking news, talk, and community affairs. Sound good? See it in your heart to pledge a minimum of $10 per month. Each payment will automatically be deducted from your credit or bank statement, so there's no reminders need it. Just join us for a one-year membership and go online at www.give2wbai.org. That's give numeral 2wbai.org and be part of our vibrant community. WBAI New York.